Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I was talking in an earlier program, we're going to talk about it in this program, about standing in the gap between the living and the dead. Mm. And that is so difficult to do quite often because normally dead folks stink.
Mm. Yes, they do.
You know what I'm saying?
And they have flies.
And they have, flies. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, spiritually dead.
They have flies.
Yeah. Oh, they have flies. Okay. Okay.
And other things.
Oh, you're talking about deliverance. Okay. Lord of the flies. And so the, and which means in the context of saying that, that they got issues. They got lots of issues. Mm-hmm. And the reason why judgment is coming or destruction is coming to that person's life or about to happen to a nation or something is because people are doing bad things, not good things. For example, Miriam, Moses' sister, was coming against God, coming against Moses. And so she was doing some bad stuff. And, you know, the Lord basically told her, you know, you might as well just spit in my eye the way you're talking right here. And how many people don't see coming against God's anointed leadership as spitting in the face of God? Isn't that what he told Miriam? It's like, you might as well just spit in my eye. And so he gave her, yeah, she got struck by leprosy. Mm-hmm. But Moses has the heart of God. I mean, he knew the heart of God. And so he began to put himself between the dead and the living. He put himself between Miriam, who was going to die of leprosy, and God, and just said, you know, would you forgive her? You know, and he did. And this is the God that we serve. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think about the time that when, you know, Moses is leading Israel outside of Egypt, and they've made it to a certain point, and Korah and his crew begin to look at things in the natural. And this is so dangerous, by the way. I want to encourage you. Don't look at what God does in the natural. Mm-hmm. It could cost you
quite a bit.
And so Korah was admiring and watching, actually envying and desiring what Moses was doing. Moses was just doing what God told him to do. But Korah was thinking that he figured it out. Oh, he's just organizing folks. This is nothing but a Linsky model. I can do this thing. And so he starts putting his hand on what's God's. And so very calmly, you know, Moses is saying, okay, great. You know, we'll just let God decide, you know, if he's decided you're the leader, I'm cool with it. I never wanted to come in the first place. But if he decided you're the leader now, and that was a very dangerous moment for him to start laying his mouth and his hand on God's stuff. Mm-hmm. But Moses, you know, if you're doing it for God, it's just like, okay, we'll just wait and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So he says, come up tomorrow. We'll get your little censers. Come on up. Get you some coals from the altar. We're going to go meet God tomorrow.
Right.
And we'll see what he's going to do. And he'll just let us know what's going on. And so when they show up, I mean, think about it. This guy is organizing against Moses. Moses is trying to lead these rebellious folks out of Egypt, having all these issues with them. It's difficult enough. They're thirsty. They're complaining. They want food. They, you know, you're trying to kill us. You brought us out here to die. You know, I mean, just imagine this. That sounds familiar. Anyway, so now you have somebody in the midst of that trying to organize and take out the leadership that's there. And so, if anybody could have been offended, you know, Moses could have been offended, right? I mean, you think about it. But he wasn't, or he didn't say that he was, because he was God's man. He could have just said, you know, off with his family or whatever, but he just let God make the decision. And so he said, you know, let's meet before the tent of meetings tomorrow. And that's where he met God, by the way, just so you know that's where God met them, met Moses and talked face to face with Moses. Isn't it amazing that somebody who's hearing from God, somebody who's not hearing from God, can come up and challenge the person who's hearing from God? It's like,
right,
I'm just over here in a conversation. You and God are going to have a real rough situation if you come against that, because you're just like spitting in God's eye. Mm-hmm. And so in that, of course, God says, I'm very upset with Korah. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, this is what, when God starts saying, step away from him.
Hmm. You better get out of the way.
You know,
quickly.
This is in Numbers 16, the book of Numbers 16. He's like, everybody step away from Korah.
Yeah.
You know, of course, pride is so evil. Yeah. He probably thought he's about to be chosen as the new leader of Moses.
Right.
And what happened was the earth opened up and it just swallowed him and his family. And then fire came down from heaven, and the 250 people that he was able to organize using Galinsky tactics, the fire just burned him up, just came down from heaven, just whew,
consumed him.
Yeah. Consumed him. I mean, imagine that. That'd be enough when you think, but not with men. And so then all of a sudden, a plague breaks out amongst the people. Because you got to think about it. If you ever entertain a conversation with a Korah, you've offended God. If you sat for 5 minutes and you entertain a conversation with Korah, knowing that that man and that woman is coming against God. I was in a restaurant the other day, wide open restaurant. And this man, you know, passes me his card and he says, you know, I went down and got my ordination from someplace in Texas and showed up down there, watched his videos and got my thing. And he's talking out loud, you know. I'm like, okay. And he says, yeah, I just want to give you my card because networking's where it's at. Networking where it's at. You know, people's listening in this wide open restaurant. And then all of a sudden he started talking against pastors and leaders in the church. And openly in the restaurant, I'm telling this man, I said, whoa. I said, you know, you've gone, you know, I'm not a part of that. And you have to, that's what you have to do. Because he was speaking against God's folks. And also too, everybody in that restaurant understood that's a proper thing. That you don't do that. And so you're finding out here, it's like you cannot entertain a conversation. So why would a plague break out against Israel if Korah was the issue? Because what is Korah even having any play here? You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Who contributed to his campaign of rebellion? You know? And so all of a sudden a plague now is breaking out. And you think about it, everybody's probably thinking the earth's going to open up any moment. It says that it's going to swallow us next. That's what happened during Azusa Street. You know, when the revival was happening, when the earth began to split, everybody begins to think it may split under me next. I think that was the original intent of the splitting the earth. And so here he is in verse 40, number 1640. Then Moses says to Aaron, he says, take your censer, put incense in it along with burning coals from the altar and hurry to the assembly to make atonement, which is intercession for them. Wrath has come out from the Lord. This is the apple of God's eye. And wrath now is coming out. It's like, are y'all really going to organize against me? Are you going to spit in my eye? Did you not remember Miriam getting leprosy? I mean, do you really think it wasn't enough for the ground to swallow Korah and his family, which means, by the way, and according to Ananias and Sapphira, you don't have to go along with evil just because you're married to it. You can step away from it. Or just because your kids are, or just because your parents are. I mean, you're held, you know, if you would have stepped out from Korah's stuff, you wouldn't have been swallowed up by that. You're held individually accountable. I am talking about standing between the living and the dead. And as we were breaking off into the break, when you think about it, I mean, Korah has been swallowed up by the earth. His family's been swallowed up by the earth. Fire has come down from heaven and devoured, consumed the very organized effort, right? Imagine that. All their little signs and everything just got eaten up. And now, but a plague broke out. And so Moses tells Aaron, quickly grab a censer, put in some incense along with some coals from the altar and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. Get out there quickly because God's wrath has broken out against us and the plague has started. And how many people say, instead of just going, God's in total control. And he says in his word, when these things happen, if you repent, then I'll stop these things. But so much evil has happened, people start saying, well, this can't be God. It's like, it's a plague. It's disaster. Why not turn to the God who can stop disaster? I mean, think how foolish that is to sit here and say, well, you're telling yourself, you know, this is not God. Either way, God can stop it. You know, why not turn to God and cry out to God? But in your own reasoning, you're going like, well, you know, even though I lost 15 members of my family, this is not God. It's like, what if you would have turned to God and you'd not lost your family? That plane wouldn't have went down. That fire wouldn't have burned the California hills. That the drought wouldn't have come and cracked slabs throughout Texas. Or the floods wouldn't have come and drowned the Gulf Coast. I mean, what if? And he's like, he looks for somebody who understands what's happening and has his heart in the context of this, and to grab a censor, if you would, and begin to run in the midst of folks that don't really deserve forgiveness. They're doing things that are really wrong in the face of God. He's not looking for somebody to judge everybody. He's looking for somebody who's going to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. So Aaron, he says in verse 47, Aaron did as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly, and the plague had already started amongst the people, but Aaron offered prayer, intercessory prayer. Aaron offered incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. One man listening to a leader who did what he said do, began to pray and intercede for these folks, and the plague stopped. But 14,700 people died with this plague in addition to Korah and his family. And that's the heart of God. The heart of God is like, you know, he's not wanting, I always joke about, you know, AM radio, and all that, but you hear people just kind of attacking folks. And it's like, that's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve is that he loves folks. We're creating his image and his likeness, and he doesn't want anybody to pass outside the knowledge of knowing him in a personal relationship with him. He just wants somebody to stand in the gap for them. I mean, he talks about it in Ezekiel 22:30. He says, this is what God says. He says, I, God, look for someone, a person who comes from among them, which means one of the very folks he's talking about, not some stranger, who comes from among them, who would build up the wall and stand before me, stand before God in the gap on behalf of the land so that I wouldn't have to destroy it. He goes on and says, but I found none, is what he says here. But he found someone with Moses. Moses said, I'll stand in the gap for Israel. I'll go there and I'll speak to Pharaoh, and I'll allow these plagues to take place. Yes, I'll lead your people into the wilderness, and yes, I'll help Aaron in the priesthood that's going on right here. And yes, I see what Miriam has done, and Miriam does deserve that, and it is spitting in your eye, and I'm sorry, God, that even happened. But I'm just asking you, Lord, would you forgive her? And God just goes, yeah. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. What if Moses didn't say, what if he didn't stand between the living and the dead? What if he didn't stand between Miriam and God? I mean, she spit in the face of God. You know, I mean, it's kind of like the old things that somebody says, hold me back. And you don't want to do it, but you're glad your friend's holding you back. You know what I'm saying? That's somebody's interceding from that. It's not that the person doesn't deserve their head knocked off in the cartoon. But in the context of it, you know, you kind of got that, you know, I'm going to take you out, but I'm not going to take you out. You know, somebody help me here. This is not going to be good. You remember. No, Mr. And the,
unfortunately.
Right. Just joking. And so that God, I think the powerful, awesome God who's holding everything together, giving us breath and giving us moisture in our mouth, only to be used to be spit into his face. I mean, God is like, I need somebody to just remind me how my love for them. Can somebody to remind me of my word? What was my original vision over mankind? And he forgives. And you look at David, King David, and Absalom. I mean, Absalom was just a mess. He was just, you know, trying to destroy everything. He wanted what his father had. But David had this heart after Absalom. So he was interceding. I know my son is so bad that I can't even see him, put him out there somewhere, but Joab brought him back. At the same time, he's saying, but I love him. His last words were at his death, at the sound of his son's death, he said, you know, how much I loved him. And so that's God's heart, because David had the heart of God. That's how God is with us. God doesn't take pleasure when somebody dies outside of making a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. It's not a pleasurable thing. We put a video on the torch yesterday from Bill Weiss. You got to check it out. Go to VFNTV.com, and right there on at VFNTV.com, click on the torch in the upper right-hand corner, and you can go see it. But it's a video of a man going to hell, and it's his out-of-body. It's a vision that he had. You can hear it, but he says the Lord's heart was broken when people would fall into that pit. But this is just the heart of God. God's looking for someone not to judge folks. He's the judge. He's looking for somebody who stands up and says, but God, I'll stand in the gap for them. And it's real difficult to do, because
the reason why people need somebody to stand in the gap for them, they're coming against the God that you love. They're spitting in the face of God that you love. They're rebelling against the God that you love. Maybe they're harming you or harming your business or whatever, or maybe harming the church. And it's real difficult to get into that gap and grab a censer and fall to your knees for the right reason and begin to say, "Dear God, forgive this person." You know, and you're worried about what's going to happen to this person. And quite often that's, you know, always been my concern. It's like, what's going to happen to this person? You know, and you pray that things won't happen. But that's the heart of God. And so standing in the gap for somebody who was good, that's not a difficult thing. I mean, people will even lay down their life for a good man, the Word of God says. But standing in the gap for people who don't deserve it is easier when you realize that you don't deserve it either. That you were chosen from amongst the very same folks. You are of that lot. You are a fallen man. You are a fallen woman in need, a desperate need of the love of God, the mercies of God, and the grace of God. When you realize that you are them outside of Him, it's easy to pray for folks because you realize, because the Lord had compassion on you and had mercy on you, then you can have compassion on them. Freely you receive, freely give. God is looking for someone who will, even in the midst of people suffering the great consequences of rebelling against God, spitting in God's eye, saying horrific things, you know, against God and His word, He's looking for somebody who believes that He can actually save this person, that He can turn them around. He's looking for somebody who stands in the gap and say, "Listen, heal Miriam. I know what she did, and I'm sorry for what she did. Would you forgive the sins of my father and forgive my sins, dear Lord, so you don't have to destroy the land?" We just say right now on behalf of America, God, we just stand in the gap and say, "Lord, forgive us for our sins in this nation. Forgive us for the laws that we enacted that's against your ways. Forgive us for the messages that came back forth from the pulpits that were not of you at all, Father God, forgive us for our sin, Lord God. Heal our nation. Save our land. We ask in Jesus' name."
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.